The Innocent by A Time Feeler, as read by Devil with a Bird Dress. Part 2 of the Arcadius and Raphael series. What are you doing? Raphael jerked, slamming his head on the ceiling of the wooden table he was under and accidentally yanking the child's braid that was in his hands. Ow! The kid yelped, tears forming in his eyes. Raphael stroked his hair soothingly, and a minor healing miracle removed the pin-prickling ache of having your hair tugged. Sorry, sorry, he muttered, stroking the hair even as the pain left, and glanced sheepishly at the demon that was glaring at him. The kid was looking up at Arcadius with wide eyes that weren't quite afraid, but curious. With swift fingers, he finished and tied a firm knot before sending the kid on his way. Arcadius! Raphael grinned up at him once the child had gone. So, giving the humans your flaming sword? How'd that work out for you?
Tempting Adam to kill, rather. I received a promotion for it, Arcadius sneered at him. Duke of Hell.
Wow! Raphael praised sarcastically. Good for, well, bad for you, I suppose the saying goes.
And you? How did giving away the Apple of Eden turn out?
Arcadius, even with a scowl upon his face, was unwaveringly polite. I heard that a certain snake, demon, tempted them into it. Raphael grinned. Well, technically, I am a snake.
Oh?
Serpent of healing, protection, fertility. Raphael flashed him a wink, and Arcadius scoffed and looked away with pink cheeks. Raphael counted it as a win. Among other things.
That's not what everyone is saying, Arcadius murmured. They say Satan himself turned into a snake and slithered up to Eden to tempt Eve. I don't know who started the rumor, but they're obviously lies. Satan is a goat creature, not a snake.
Raphael shrugged. Heaven is pretending the whole thing didn't happen, I think. They wouldn't listen to me tell them it was the right thing to do, but God's never mentioned it again, so... Arcadius's lips tightened, and he glanced down at Raphael, who sat cross-legged on the ground, with clear judgment on his face. Now, what on earth have you been doing?
Raphael said. Braiding?
Arcadius stared down at him, his burly arms crossed over his round abdomen. The very picture of disapproval. Raphael felt like he was being scolded, though, for what, he didn't know.
And why is that?
Well, I'm an angel, aren't I? Fostering peace and goodwill and her affection, the like. Arcadius's look was venomous.
Oh, giving them a few moments of peace before you drown them?
Raphael gaped at him. That was a pretty serious accusation.
Drown them? First of all, I'm an angel. Angels don't just kill kids. And second of all, drown them with what? We're in the middle of the desert.
Arcadius's glare dropped.
You don't know?
What? Raphael nearly dreaded asking.
Haven't you seen it? The big boat full of a traveling zoo?
Arcadius looked at Raphael's blank look.
Have you literally buried your head under the sand, dear boy? Or perhaps you've been under this table for the past months?
Hey, I just got here. Raphael brushed off his robes, which were covered in sand and dirt.
Ugh, white was the worst.
I haven't heard anything about a... zoo? Raphael trailed off as a pair of elephants casually stomped past them, rattling the objects on the table Raphael had just been sitting under. The children distracted me. Arcadius huffed, looking at the braids that were woven into Raphael's hair in no particular order.
I can see that.
Raphael was looking out at the animals, frowning.
So what's this all about, then? Big boat in the middle of a desert?
From what I hear, God's a bit tetchy, Arcadius hummed, wiping out the human race. Big storm! Raphael reeled back in surprise, golden eyes going wide. He glanced around, watching the small gathering of children he'd just hung out with run with the chickens and a stray dog. Adult humans were murmuring suspiciously at the boat and watching the herd of animals enter it.
There was a crowd of at least 100 people watching the chaos with interest, and not to mention the entire village and market behind them.
All of them? Raphael gaped.
Arcadius seemed unbothered as he hummed. Just the locals. She's not upset with the Chinese, or the Native Americans, or the Australians, at least. Not yet. Raphael was still glancing around, alarm painted on his face.
Since when did she decide this? She couldn't have decided this, could she? God was just and merciful and kind. She still loved them, didn't she? She had forgiven Adam and Eve, and she had a plan for them. A plan for their savior to save all of those who had fallen into sin. How could she save them if they were all gone?
No, this doesn't make sense, Raphael murmured. Well, she's not going to wipe out all the locals, Arcadius mentioned, and Raphael whipped around to face him, hanging on to every word. Noah's family, up there. They'll be safe.
What about the kids? You can't kill kids.
Arcadius looked at him, affronted.
I will do no such thing. It's your lot that decided it.
Decisions, yes. Decisions could change, couldn't they? Raphael could say something. He had a good number of arguments as to why they shouldn't wipe out the human race, and he was good at arguing.
I have to go, Raphael said abruptly. I've got to,
ooh. That's a unicorn. It's going to make a run for it if they don't stop it, Arcadius hummed.
Goodbye, unicorns.
Pity. I did like them.
They still got one of them, don't they?
Raphael watched it run past them. Arcadius looked at him.
Aren't you an angel of fertility?
Yeah, why? Raphael puzzled. What's that got to do with it?
For hell's sake, Arcadius muttered, not answering.
Well, if that's all, I'll be off then, Raphael said, glancing about in mild panic. Lots of, angel things to do.
Arcadius watched him with interest, eyebrows raising.
Oh, not staying to enjoy the show?
I... bit too graphic for you, yes?
Arcadius hummed in mock sympathy. I'm sure a good angel like you isn't used to seeing bloated bodies and suffocation by drowning, hmm?
Raphael paled. This would not do. This would not do at all. He opened his mouth to object when a drop landed on his cheek, skimming his eyelash.
Raphael flinched and glanced up at the sky, golden eyes swirling with unsaid questions and doubts. He backed away suddenly, overwhelmed by the happy exclamations around him. The locals, they had no idea. They had no idea this was their last bit of happiness. To them, this storm was a sudden, happy surprise. There were a couple of them cupping the water in their palms and drinking it. A few praised God for the rain. A part of Raphael wanted to believe the demon was lying, just to get a rise out of him. But Raphael could feel divine grace pulling the animals to the boat, and he could see the blessing of protection hovering over Noah and his family.
It's beginning, Arcadius said solemnly, and then turned to Raphael to say bitterly, Enjoy the show, serpent.
Raphael didn't speak as he turned and fled.
Raphael, you're just in time!
The great booming voice of Gabriel greeted him as soon as he set foot into heaven.
Gabe, Raphael winced, trying to turn it into a smile. Hey, yeah, so I...
Boy, am I glad to see you! You like Earth assignments, don't you? They need an archangel down there and...
Gabriel made a face of disgust.
You know me and Earth don't sit too well.
Right,
I know it's short notice, but here's your new assignment.
Gabriel shoved a file into his hands before Raphael could finish.
Here's all your duties aboard the Ark. Noah's boat, I'm sure you've heard of it. It's pretty straightforward, but you're to protect the boat, guard it against demons, keep any pesky humans from getting in, etc., etc.
Yep, sounds good.
There will be other angels aboard, but we figured a powerful archangel like yourself could cover the big things, yeah?
Gabriel nudged him with his elbow, and Raphael gave him an awkward smile whilst pulling away. Flattered, yeah, but
We archangels have to keep the ship sailing, so to speak.
Gabriel grinned.
Pun intended.
Great. Raphael's tone was just a touch on the side of frustrated, but he was valiantly plastering a smile on his face. I'm just going to chat with the Almighty real quick.
Whoa, whoa!
Gabriel's grin dropped.
You can't talk to her right now.
Raphael's smile grew sharp. Thanks for the tidbit, Gabe, but I'm pretty sure I outrank you.
But,
Gabriel spluttered,
she's busy.
Thanks for your help, Gabe, really. Raphael patted his shoulder and he left. I appreciate the thought, but I'll take it from here. Before Gabriel could go on another tangent, Raphael skid past him, nearly running down the pristine halls. He smiled nervously at the angels he passed before climbing up the stairs to the Almighty's door. When he tried the handle, it was locked, and Raphael cursed under his breath. No one had a key to the Almighty's room, and the Metatron sat at the front desk with a phone line directly connected to her. He would have run into him if Raphael hadn't gone the back way. He'd been in this room more times than he could count, and he couldn't remember the last time it had been locked. Before he was put on apple duty, Raphael would waltz into the room with another question on his lips and sit on the edge of the cosmos, spinning stars as he chatted with his maker. She didn't say much, but when she did, Raphael clung to every word and listened intently. He had a bad habit of asking questions before he fully thought them through, so he was trying to work on it. Raphael knocked three times, trying to go for cheerful, and clasped his hands behind his back. In his head, he rehearsed his questions, bouncing with anxious energy.
Hello, Lord. So that big storm you're cooking up, couldn't you just put it on Jupiter? Hey, God, it's me, Raphael. No, of course she would know it was him. She knew everything, and she didn't like it when he repeated information she already knew.
God, I know. He didn't know, actually. God, I heard, and you're listening to rumors now, are you, Raphael? From a demon, no less? God, why are you angry at the humans? Why are you drowning them?
That was it. Just go straight to the point. Don't waste her time. Make it brief and concise. Get the important stuff out before she stopped answering. Sometimes Raphael would get halfway through his question, only to realize God was not planning on answering. He knew she heard him, for she heard everything, but she had the fine ability to tune out all that she did not wish to address. Now, time was of the essence, and Raphael couldn't afford to wait.
God? Raphael called through the door. I have something important to ask you. He fiddled with his hands, rocking back and forth on his heels. It wouldn't take too long. I'm sure it's just a misunderstanding. Raphael waited for a moment, holding his breath and staring at the doorknob, hoping it would turn.
Raphael?
Gah! He startled, and his wings fluffed out in another dimension in his surprise. As he whirled around, he came face to face with the disapproving stare of the Metatron.
Not this guy.
What are you doing here, hollering at the Almighty's door? He demanded, in his holier-than-thou attitude, as if Raphael didn't practically live behind this door for millennia.
Oh, I just had to ask her some...
She doesn't have time to chat right now, Raphael, the Metatron scolded. She's busy flooding the earth to cleanse it from the wicked. Raphael pointed out what he thought was obvious.
Yeah, but I just wanted to know why.
Why? What a stupid question! He chortled. They are wicked!
But, Raphael frowned, thinking back to the plan that he saw. Isn't there a better way? Shouldn't we teach the wicked instead of drowning them?
Metatron shook his head. They cannot be taught. Their hearts are too hard and wicked.
Yeah, but have we tried?
Noah has. Metatron was speaking in his patient voice, which meant he was the furthest thing from patient. Time and time again, he has lectured them on their wickedness and sin, and they did not adhere to his words.
Raphael said, Well, yeah, of course they didn't. I wouldn't listen to an old man yelling to me about my wickedness either,
Raphael. He stopped.
Too far?
It was easy for him to imagine himself ignoring Noah, especially if he was anything like Metatron. The comment was insulting if Metatron was smart enough to catch it, and Raphael genuinely wasn't sure if he did.
I do not have time for your useless questions, and frankly, neither does the Almighty, he said, and even as he stood on a step below him, Raphael felt unbelievably small.
But she didn't mind before, Raphael protested, and this time it's really important.
Raphael, Metatron cut in, do I need to remind you how to act like an angel?
Raphael hesitated. What? No.
I'm sure you know what happens to angels who forget how to be good, Metatron said.
But I am.
Are you obedient, Raphael? Metatron asked, and Raphael deflated. Is your faith unwavering? Do you listen to your superiors?
Raphael opened his mouth to argue, but the Metatron was raising his eyebrows, and Raphael realized that no matter what he said, he wouldn't win. Metatron was the highest-ranking angel in heaven, and while Raphael a close second, anything he said would be seen as talking back. The old man still had a way of making Raphael feel unbelievably small and helpless. He closed his mouth and swallowed back the words on the tip of his tongue. The silence stretching between them felt like an eternity. Wasted time as the humans below him drowned and begged the Lord to save them. When the Metatron was satisfied, he hummed.
Now, don't you have an assignment to complete?
Yes, sir, Raphael muttered, and slipped around the Metatron with his head down and his face burning with shame.
When he made it back down to Earth, it was already flooding. The sky was dark, and God's wrath hung heavy in the air. Raphael shuddered from it as he flew down to perch on a roof that had not yet submerged. Their huts were low to the ground and nearly flooded completely as Raphael wobbled on the damp mud.
Please.
He was startled when hands fell to his feet and gripped his robes.
Please, Angel, save us.
Raphael stared in shock, with the wind whipping wildly around his face and rain soaking every inch of him. Through the pouring rain, he could see a woman looking up at him, her tears mingling with the streaks of mud as she sobbed. Raphael's mouth fell open, and he looked helplessly around as a small crowd gathered around him, panic on their faces. Some collapsed at his feet, kneeling, and Raphael felt nauseous from the blasphemy of it all. He wasn't supposed to intervene. He was an angel of the Lord, and it was the Lord they should be begging for mercy. But didn't their humble plea for help reflect their willingness to turn to the Lord? Or did they just show remorse on their deathbed? Raphael had been given strict instructions not to interfere with her punishment to the wicked, but he doubted that every human here was truly wicked. Surely some of them were just misguided, or hurt, or skeptical. Surely not every one of them was wicked. Raphael had no answers to his questions, and he had no authority to decide who was wicked and who was not. He started, and, like a miracle, the solution entered his mind. I can only save your young. While Raphael had no authority to deem others wicked or righteous, he knew that children were not wicked. Perhaps their parents were, but Raphael remembered God telling him that Adam and Eve were innocent like unto a child. If children were innocent, there was no way they could be wicked. She said so herself. The woman at his feet hesitated, but slowly stood and unraveled the baby cradled to her bosom. Through tear-filled eyes, she whispered,
"Please, please save her."
Gently, Raphael took the baby into his arms and then allowed the others to bring their children forward. There was the baby in one arm, a toddler in his other, one child around his neck, and a young teenager pressed against his side. The adults watched, torn between regret and gratitude, and Raphael snapped his fingers and teleported them into the Ark. Once they were safely inside a random room, Raphael instantly warded it from anyone attempting to enter or leave. He turned to the teenager. Her name was Layla.
She was the youngest of four, and she constantly battled for her parents' attention from her older brothers. Raphael knew just by looking at her that she'd always felt inadequate and guilty for even living. He hoped to change that. "I'm going to bring more children here. Can you help me take care of them while I'm gone?"
I...
Layla was hiccuping through her sobs and pressing her hands against her tear ducts. Gently, Raphael placed a hand on her shoulder and said, "Hey, you can do this. You are so brave, you know that?" Layla glanced up at him with glassy eyes and instantly refuted.
"I'm not brave."
"It's true," Raphael insisted. "I don't think I know a braver kid. What you're doing is very hard, and it's okay to be scared. But I know you have a brave, good heart, and you can get through this. I just need a little bit of your bravery to help me get through this, too."
"Angels can get scared?"
she whispered through shaky breaths.
"Oh, all the time," Raphael said. "I'm pretty scared right now, too, but I feel a lot better knowing I've got a brave person like you helping me out."
She exhaled shakily and gave him a wobbly smile that Raphael returned. He gave her the baby he was holding, and she took to it immediately, shushing it and holding it close with her thin arms. Layla was so young, she couldn't be older than 12, and Raphael felt a pang in his heart when he thought about everything these humans would go through tonight. "I'll be back," he promised, and teleported into the storm.
"Arcadius?" Raphael blurted, shocked to see the demon. He was in Noah's Ark, searching for supplies, when he finally found the storage unit. It was carefully tucked away from all the animals, and the stale air smelled refreshing compared to other levels. The demon whirled around, standing in a small sea of children. Raphael was almost alarmed to see human children so close to a demon that exuded a powerful and violent aura. He smelt it when he descended and threw open the door, expecting a fight. What he did not expect to see was the demon lifting a toddler as if he were going to throw her into the air. Two more were latched to his legs, and one was tugging insistently on his robe. The whole image was very cute, and Raphael wished he had something to capture it. Only, the demon in question looked very angry. Murderous, in fact. Instantly, the demon put the child down and brushed them all behind him with casual gentleness as he stood between Raphael and the children. Raphael blinked when Arcadius snarled, "What are you doing here, snake?" The word snake was growled, deep and menacing, and the tips of his sharp teeth peeked out as he spoke. He braced his claws at his sides and looked ready to charge at Raphael if he so much as moved. Raphael was a little shell-shocked. It was one thing to hear the demon had given away his sword to the humans, and another thing entirely to see him saving and tending to a small horde of children. When Arcadius told Raphael they were going to be drowned, he sounded angry, yes, but he didn't think he cared enough to save them.
"Are those children?"
Okay. It was a bit of a dumb question, but Raphael was still stuck on the fact that there was a kid wrapped possessively around Arcadius's leg that was glaring at him. Weren't demons supposed to kill children?
"Aren't they supposed to be..."
Raphael frowned, studying the room and finding more mini-humans shuffling about and hiding.
Not here?"
This apparently was the wrong thing to say, because, in a second, Arcadius was holding Raphael by his collar and shoving him into the nearest wall. "Don't even think about hurting them, or I swear I'll rip you to shreds and feed your corpse to them," Arcadius growled, spitting as he said it, and Raphael blinked. He knew, logically, that he could snap his fingers and fling Arcadius across the room. If it came down to it, he would be a hard match, but Raphael would win. He was an archangel, and he was an imaginative one, at that. Fighting wasn't his forte, but he could tell it was Arcadius's. The demon relied on physical strength and intimidation for his power, so if Raphael had to fight him, he would take that away. In this situation, he could teleport the bear outside the ark and leave him to drown. It wouldn't be a fair fight, but he suspected Arcadius wouldn't fight fair when he quite literally tore his corporation to shreds. Bears were ferocious and extremely protective, apparently, so it wouldn't be wise to fight him in such an enclosed area. While Raphael knew all these things and knew without a shadow of a doubt that he could dispose of this threat, Raphael stayed in place. Arcadius was holding him up like he was nothing, and the needy thing in his chest that begged for attention didn't really mind. Besides, he wasn't in any actual danger. "I won't," Raphael insisted. "Wouldn't dream of it. Look, I'm an angel. I don't hurt children." "You just drown them, don't you?" Arcadius gave him an angry shove against the wall again, and Raphael winced. "That wasn't my decision," he said, a bit weakly. The whole attempt in heaven was still seared into his brain and poking at his dignity and faith. "Somehow I find that hard to believe," Arcadius retorted, and Raphael wilted like a sad flower. Did he really think that little of him? They were hereditary enemies, of course, but he thought he made a good impression. "I'll prove it," Raphael said. "I saved them too." His feet hit the floor as Arcadius suddenly dropped him.
"What?"
"The kids," Raphael waved a hand in their general direction. "I saved a couple too." 42. He saved 42. After he left Layla with 3 children to look after, he went to every hut and high place he could find and teleported the children there to safety. Arcadius took a step back from him, wary and mistrustful. "Why?" "Oh, well," he said, airily. "They said she was going to drown all the wicked ones, right? Well, kids aren't wicked," Arcadius snipped. "I beg to differ." "Because they're innocent," Raphael continued. "It's not the kids' fault their parents were wicked. Sure, they might mimic the behavior, but intrinsically, kids are innocent." "Well, my kids aren't," Arcadius sounded like he was bragging. "They're as wicked as they come." Raphael smiled at him slowly.
"And that's why you saved them?"
"Obviously," Arcadius sneered. His grin grew.
"Not because you care?"
"I'm a demon. I don't care about things," Arcadius roared. It was an impressive roar, and Raphael zipped his mouth shut. He nodded. "Yep, I can see that. Very scary. Uncaring bear you are." Arcadius huffed and looked at Raphael like he was trying to distinguish whether he was humoring him or not. Raphael twitched under the attention, and his "I'm not doing anything" smile appeared on his face. The very first not-so-innocent smile to be invented.
"Stop smiling like that," Arcadius demanded, and Raphael pressed his lips together to try to stop.
The demon shook his head and muttered something under his breath, sounding annoyed but no longer angry, which was a win in Raphael's books.
"Are you going to leave or not?"
Arcadius gave him a pointed look. Raphael said, "Well, actually, I was thinking."
"You have a brain up there behind that stupid grin?" Arcadius interrupted.
All Raphael did was smile wider as he spoke. "I was thinking that since we both have a couple of stowaways, it would be smarter to keep them all in one place. My stowaways need more food and company, and the storage unit is the perfect place for that."
"You don't want wicked children and innocent children in the same place," Arcadius said. "Your children will spoil mine with their goodness. I'm raising mine to be evil, you know."
Raphael needled. "Your wicked children would also influence my good ones, wouldn't they? A trade-off." Arcadius pointed out,
"It's not an equal trade-off. We found the storage unit first."
"If you share," Arcadius snarled at the word as Raphael said it, "then I can offer my protection."
"I don't need your protection," Arcadius said instantly.
"Really?" Raphael asked, twisting his head sideways. "Because you know there are other angels aboard this boat, right? And I sensed your presence 2 stories above this one in only 2 days. How long do you think it will take the others?" Arcadius grunted angrily, and Raphael had a cute mental image of a grumpy bear huffing at him. It was dangerous to be the cause of a bear's anger, but it was also really cute.
"Fine," Arcadius growled. "But if you're lying..."
"I'm not lying," Raphael lifted his hand and snapped. "I just cloaked your presence. Now whenever an angel comes near, all they'll sense is me."
"I'll smell like you?" Arcadius wrinkled his nose. "Disgusting."
"Hey, I'll have you know that I smell wonderful," Raphael protested.
Everyone says so. Arcadius sneered. The angels you hang around need to be more honest with you, then. They bickered back and forth about the smell of wildflowers and the state of his smell as Raphael teleported the children into the storage unit. Almost immediately, his kids were welcomed into the fold, even if they were wary around all newcomers. Poor kids must be traumatized from it all. Raphael sat a careful distance away from Arcadius, even though he was fairly certain the demon wasn't going to actually rip him to shreds. If Raphael dared to interact with the children, he was under intense scrutiny until the child drifted away. Raphael mostly ignored it. It was hard to be intimidated when Arcadius was holding an infant, and two other children were scaling his back like it was an obstacle course. He handled them with ease, picking them up and pushing them away when they invaded his space too much and allowing them to nudge and nuzzle into his warmth for comfort. The conversation lulled, and Raphael was silent as he watched Arcadius comb through the curls of a toddler as she slept. He had such sharp claws, but they never once nicked her. Raphael knew that he was different on the Eastern Wall, but now he knew that he was special.
Why? Arcadius murmured. Why did she do it?
Raphael glanced up. He was stroking Layla's back as she curled up in his lap, and he wasn't sure if the demon was addressing him. He was just beginning to look down again when the demon caught his eye. His eyes were so dark, even with Raphael's enhanced vision, they looked black in the lack of light. Ah, Raphael whispered, and his voice sounded too harsh in the quiet. The thick wood muffled the sound of water crashing and the heavy wind that pounded against it. He had admonished a miracle to protect the Ark from breaking, and he was beginning to feel the ache of expending so much energy behind his eyes.
I don't know, Raphael said so softly that he wondered if the demon could hear it.
Don't you? His deep, sotto voice murmured. Don't you speak with her?
Raphael could detect the threat in his bitter growl, and he refused to be intimidated by it. Arcadius was much bigger than he was, strong and intense in a quiet manner. His strength wasn't loud or brash, but what he felt was intense and deep. Raphael could tell that the subject was a sore spot, and it might be the reason the demon thought so lowly of him. Raphael ached to change that.
I tried, he admitted, his desire to be liked by the demon winning out over his desire to keep his secrets close to his chest.
Something about the demon made Raphael want to know him, and to be known in return. Raphael said, As soon as I found out, I tried to reach her. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Arcadius muttered lowly, Don't I know it?
Raphael perked up at that, questions leaping to the forefront of his mind.
You do?
How do you know it? Who were you before you fell? Were you close to her? Do you still believe in her? Do you believe me?
Ah, Raphael said.
He was learning that his questions needed to be asked carefully. Arcadius inhaled and said,
So, rebelling against God again. How do you think that will work out for you?
It's not rebelling, technically, Raphael winced.
Oh, really? Saving the wicked from her wrath isn't rebelling? The growl returned to his voice. I think you'll find it very easy to rebel if you're not careful, Snake, and rebelling leads to falling.
Raphael frowned.
I won't fall. Let me guess, Arcadius huffed. You're going to say, it's ineffable.
Raphael opened his mouth and closed it with a shrug.
I mean, I haven't broken any rules. What rules haven't you broken? Arcadius demanded.
Shh, Raphael said soothingly, hands out. You'll wake the kids. He huffed, and it was so dramatic and overly noisy that Raphael had to stifle a laugh. Look, I saved those who were not wicked. God said herself that children are innocent.
She did?
More or less, Raphael said. I'm paraphrasing.
And what about those who were wicked? Their mothers, their grandparents? You honestly think they deserve this? Do you? Raphael shot back. His maneuver worked, and Arcadius looked away.
This conversation, though interesting, was very dangerous. Raphael knew that while he wanted to trust that Arcadius was different from the other demons, he didn't necessarily trust the demon himself yet. "It's a dangerous world for demons who go around saving children," Raphael started, airily. Arcadius whipped his head around, baring his teeth in a threat. "It's also," he hesitated, "a dangerous world for an angel to bend to the rules, so to say."
"What are you saying?" Arcadius growled slowly.
"I'm saying," Raphael said, his hands an open, peaceful gesture, "that it might be wise if we kept these things to ourselves. A truce."
"A truce," Arcadius said incredulously. "Demons don't have truces with angels."
"Would you prefer the alternative?" Raphael snapped.
"Maybe I would," Arcadius snapped right back.
"Then I guess this is the end of the both of us, because I doubt you could talk your way out of this." "I'm raising wicked children. You're petting their hair," Raphael exclaimed, and Arcadius wrinkled his nose in offense. "You're caring for them. Don't say you aren't. I've never seen a demon handle a child with as much care as you do."
"And I've never seen an angel so bad at being an angel," Arcadius retorted.
Raphael flinched and looked away, trying to mask his hurt. He was a bad angel, wasn't he? Just like the Metatron said, he wasn't obedient, faithful, or perfect. Raphael had faith, of course. He did, but he had questions, too. There wasn't anything wrong with him when he was getting answers. God answered him patiently or ignored him in favor of letting him figure it out on his own. Sometimes she would confirm the results with him later and call him a clever little thing. Or, at least, she used to. Maybe without her constant influence, Raphael really was straying from the truth and light. He was in a demon's company, after all. Since Eden, Raphael had been going off of his intuition, and he had confidence that he knew it would lead him to do the right thing. Now... Arcadius sighed loudly. "I suppose, then, we're right back where we started." Raphael looked up and nodded mutely. He huffed again and tilted his head back in exasperation. "Oh, don't look at me like that." Arcadius was muttering angrily to himself as Raphael frowned deeper and looked down, furrowing his brows in dejection.
"Fine,"
Raphael jerked.
"Fine?"
"Yes," Arcadius huffed. "Fine. I won't go telling the whole world you do whatever it is you do, and you won't tell a soul I..."
"Love kids?" Raphael finished for him. "I'm a demon. I don't love anything," Arcadius snapped.
"Ah." Raphael glanced down to where the demon was holding at least 5 children as they slept.
"Right. Demons can't love. I forgot about that."
"You would do well to remember it then," Arcadius sniffed. Raphael tilted his head to the side.
"Was he just saying that? Do demons not feel love? I know they don't feel the Almighty's love, but can they love like humans? Is human love really love? What is love, really? Is combing a child's hair back from their face love? Or is it just a mere imitation of it? Is an imitation of God's love really love? Can you love something different than God loves? Can you love something other than God?"
"You're lucky the children didn't wake in our discussion," Arcadius said, mildly. "I would have been very unhappy if I had had to put them to sleep again."
"I wouldn't call it a discussion," Raphael shrugged, "but we did reach a resolution."
"For now," Arcadius said. "I don't make it a habit to make truces with angels."
"Of course not," Raphael said. "Neither do I with demons."
Arcadius raised a suspicious eyebrow.
"I don't," Raphael insisted.
"All right, don't go yelling again." He rolled his eyes.
"You yelled too, you know," Raphael hissed.
"Yes, but you're unbelievably loud," Arcadius said. "There's no reason to raise your voice so." Raphael winced.
He was loud, in general. If he was happy, he was hooting and hollering. If he was excited, he talked nonstop. And if he was angry, he tended to yell. It wasn't a good habit, so Raphael murmured.
Sorry.
Arcadius tisked. Apologizing to a demon. Raphael said snippily. Well, that's what you're supposed to do when you feel bad about doing something. Everyone knows that.
Well, I'm a demon. I don't feel remorse, Arcadius cut in, so you won't be hearing any apologies from me.
Raphael frowned. Really? You don't feel that either? What do you feel?
Oh, many things, Arcadius said. Anger, hatred, loathing. Those are the same thing. They most definitely are not. Envy, pride, gluttony, lust, greed, sloth, Raphael cut in. You're just listing the seven sins. Well, they're accurate.
So, Raphael asked slowly, what do you feel when you take care of them?
Arcadius looked down and brushed a curl away from a toddler's cheek and tucked it behind his ear. He didn't speak for a moment, but when he did, his voice sent a shudder down Raphael's spine.
Anger, Arcadius said, and possession.
Anger at who? Raphael whispered.
Your god, Arcadius responded.
Who he was possessive of was obvious, and his grip tightened around one of the children's shoulders.
And possession is another form of greed.
Raphael nodded in understanding and glanced down at the kids that he was holding. When he took care of them, or, more accurately, played and talked with them, Raphael could feel love surrounding him in a warm bubble. He looked at them and he could feel the love that God had for her creations. It only made sense since they were made so beautifully, with their imagination and playfulness. Every time they laughed, he felt his chest grow tight with joy, and every time they cried, he winced with empathy. Raphael did not associate negative feelings with his interactions with children, but watching Arcadius interact with them, he could see it was more intense than what Raphael felt. He wasn't allowed to feel that intensely about anything other than his maker. His devotion had to remain purely to her. Arcadius didn't have such a barrier. He held the children like they were his, and he protected them with a sort of anger that Raphael wasn't sure he had. Sure, his temper was short, and he tended to yell, but Arcadius carried his anger heavily and wore it with pride. They fell silent, and Raphael did not ask any more questions.
End. Thank you for listening.
Author's end note. I will never not think they saved kids in Mesopotamia. I wrote about it in my Crowley Saves Kids series, lol, but it was interesting to see how differently Raphael would do it. Arcadius is bastard to Raphael, but boy is he a softy for kids. I know in the canon universe Aziraphale is bad with kids, but come on. He's a bear. He has to be good with kids. He's a mama bear. I'm very tempted to make this a kid fic, since the image of Arcadius with little kids he calls his cubs is getting to me. Raphael isn't all that different from the way I write Crowley. He's just less angry and more open about his emotions since he wasn't traumatized. Yet. Arcadius is practically a different person, but we'll see his soft side once he gets more comfortable around Raphael. I figured Gabriel wouldn't make Raphael feel like shit, so I had to do someone with a higher rank, and so that leaves the Metatron. I called him Megatron for about half of the fic before I realized his name was Metatron, lol. I'm going to explain what happens after this scene in my next fic, but it may take a hot minute, so for now, I'll just tell you. Arcadius argues with Raphael the whole journey, but he tolerates his presence while Raphael is having a great, and confusing, time. They land, and Arcadius sneaks off with all the children, while Raphael stays behind to watch over Noah's family like he was assigned to do. Arcadius makes sure they all grow up happy and protected, and very, very evil, a safe distance away from Noah's family. Once more of the water recedes, he and his kids migrate as far as they can go. Don't worry, though. They'll see each other again in Golgotha. Thanks for reading.
This has been The Innocent by The Time Feeler, as read by Devil with a Bird Dress. This is part 2 of the Arcadius and Raphael Good Omen series.